At Brave New Teaching, our mission is to support teachers at all their various stages of the game. Whether you're just getting started or you've been in it for a while, we want to always be your go-to for ELA curriculum support.
To celebrate you, we are hosting an epic week in April called Workshop Week. During the week of April 15th through 19th, we are giving every single one of our Brave New Teachers the opportunity to take any of our five workshops for only $7.
And we're going to make this super simple. We are delivering the coupon code straight to your inbox. All you need to do is copy that code and paste it into the workshop of your choice, and you're set. You'll have two full weeks of access for only $7.
These workshops are pretty big and are normally valued at $50 each. So this is the perfect time to hop in and step up your curriculum game in teaching memoir, dystopia, poetry, and Shakespeare.
Our favorite.
Yes.
So make sure that you are opted into our email list, and you can get there by going to shop.bravenewteaching.com, and you will automatically get the code emailed to you mid-April. Thank you for being here, and have a wonderful week at school.
Well, hello, and welcome back to Brave New Teaching, and welcome to a brand new episode. I know that it actually hasn't been that long since we had a new episode, but it's been a minute since Amanda and I got to record together. Hi.
I know. Hey, buddy. It's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you, and it's so good to like be back and create new things for our listeners and our community. I'm excited.
I know. We've been in, seriously, I want you all to know that we practice what we preach. We backwards plan this podcast.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Backwards plan everything in the classroom. And we have been like, it's just nice to kind of be recording around the same time that this is coming out, because I feel just more connected. Because we have episodes scheduled out, you guys, until August at this point.
Well, okay, you know, when you're in the classroom and you've done all this planning, and I'm the queen of this. I do all of this planning, backwards planning. It's great. It's all curriculum rehab, doing all the things. It's all the great and the best practices.
Oh my gosh.
And then I get to like the day before or like the day of something, and I realize, oh, I never actually made the thing.
Oh, right. Because it all exists in your head.
Yeah. It all exists in my head, and the slide is there. Like it's created, whatever the content is and the lesson is made for the kids, but they're manipulative. And then I have to go, take out a sheet of paper and fold it into fourths and like figure out, like, oh my God, I was so close.
Okay. Should we give a couple little hints to people about what's coming?
Okay. Yes. So part of the reason that this is a little bit more of a timely recording session, friends, is because we've had some plans in the works and now we get to start telling you about them.
Oh my gosh, I'm like so excited.
It's going to be a really fun summer. Okay. So I just want you all to think about some of the most nostalgic parts of summer, right? What are some of your most nostalgic parts of summer, Amanda?
You know what? Really? I mean, I can remember I was a swimmer. So like, I remember going to swim meets and like how excited I was to like get snacks at the concession stand and like line up and just the sound of like the starting buzzer. Sure. And everything. Like, it's a very like sound heavy memory for me of the swim classes. And then I was also a soccer player as I got older. So all of my summer memories are sports forward. Which is like the complete opposite of my life now, which is really funny.
Isn't that funny? So summer is definitely like from a young age is when I would read a lot during the summer. I would read a lot during the summer. I went to camps. Like I loved a good day camp. And there was a Girl Scout day camp that my mom was like the leader for our troops. And my sister and I were in different troops. And we would always go to day camp at like the local lake. And that is some of my most fond memories. That's why I talk about s'mores so much. I love a good s'more. I'll make it on the stove if I have to. But I just love summer. I love time. I love being able to like take just kind of a different focus on things. Mm-hmm. And that like feeling of summer and big change during the summer has never gone away because like, hello, I went into education, right? So some of our other adult friends are like, I don't have that anymore. And I'm like, I will literally always have that.
And, you know, but even if our other adult friends don't have it, what the other thing that comes to mind for summer, even that's not my childhood nostalgia, is just time with people. I feel right? like summer, at least from being from the Midwest, like summer creates more time to be together. Like we have more daylight, we have better weather, the yeah. rooftops are open, like all kinds of stuff like that. And I think people come out together. As someone who gets really, like, even when I was in the classroom, like very kind of, I don't know, buried in school.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like everyone really tries hard to make time for each other in the summer to make up for.
Right. You can come out of hibernation.
Yes.
Yes. Well, okay.
And literally.
So, friends, we have got some fun summer plans coming at you from Brave New Teaching. It's got gathering people like Amanda was talking about. Yeah. It's got really any weather that you have, like any and all of the weathers can be involved here. It's got books like I was talking about. It's got just slowing down and doing the things that you want to do. And we are pumped. Go, Amanda, go.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but we had the chance to sit down with some authors that we completely and totally adore. And I think we're going to wait to tell you who they were until next week. Like next week, we're going to, I really think we should do a whole episode where we kind of walk you all through
okay.
The books, the people, and like
yep.
what okay. to expect and like kind of lay it all out for you in like a full episode, because we need to prepare you all the way to be ready for camp. But we sat down with some people that we truly and completely admire. And really our mission was to kind of wrap our heads even better around culturally responsive teaching, right? And equitable practices. And so we have this kind of beautiful combination of fiction books and authors and professional development books and authors that we have sat with, digested, and we are going to be sharing not only interviews with those authors, but also our takeaway and debrief conversations around practically what to do with what you just learned, what to do with the books we were just exposed to, and how to move forward knowing better and doing better. So it is just, I'm so excited.
Yes. And among all of that, we are going to call it Camp BNT. It is going to be an online place for us all to gather, to discuss the interviews, to discuss the books, to even have Q&As with the authors when they are available. Like we've got some live things in the works. We've got some special perks for our happy hour members. We are very excited. Like Amanda said, I think it's a good idea. Yes, let's do a full-blown tell everybody what's coming so we can kind of prepare and get ourselves ready and order the books and do all of the things, because it is all summer long. Take it at your own pace. And we are so excited. And to participate in Camp BNT is going to be completely free of charge.
Yay! Yes.
Okay. I think we've talked more about camp than okay. we intended to. And we should probably jump into our actual episode. What do you think, Amanda?
Well, I just also realized if you go to bravenewteaching.com/camp
oh, right. to register, yes.
you're actually going to see the headshots of our people.
You want a sneak peek? Head to bravenewteaching.com/camp. And we are about to dive in to another episode in our diverse authors series. And my gosh, we've not recorded a diverse authors episode in a minute. And today we are talking about our AAPI diverse authors, and we are very excited. I'm excited about the three books that I'm going to be sharing. Amanda has got like 27 titles that she's going to share, okay. or something like that. Okay. She's an overachiever. I'm but first, we're gonna cue the music.
You're listening to Brave New Teaching, and we are so much more than a podcast.
We give teachers the inspiration, support, and tools to challenge the status quo.
I'm Amanda, and I'm a former English teacher from Illinois.
And I'm Marie, and I'm a teacher from Southern California.
Join us at bravenewteaching.com to find out more about our courses, festivals, and get every episode's show notes.
We're so glad you're here. Enjoy the show. Okay, friends. So if we backtrack, we rewind a couple of years. Who did we start our diverse authors with?
Hispanic Heritage Month, baby.
Hispanic Heritage Month. Yes. And I remember talking about Mexican God. I'm sorry, friends. As we're recording, I've had a very long week at school. It is a Friday evening. And so like if I'm stumbling over my words, it's because I'm really tired. I'm teaching in April. So like, need I say more? You know what I mean? And it's just getting hot and kids are getting weird and flirty energy and they're just so weird.
They are super weird.
Anyways, so yes, I talked about Mexican Gothic. Oh gosh, I love that book.
And I talked about A Very Old Man with Enormous Wings by Marquez. Yes,
you did. I mean, we talked about a few others, but it's just with, like jumping into my – and then I know we did for Black History Month. We did Black Authors when we talked about
– I did Octavia Spencer.
Octavia Butler.
Nope, Olivia. No, my
wrong God. Octavia.
Oh my God, wrong Octavia.
Yeah.
I don't have the same excuse you do, but yeah.
No, but you have younger children than I have, so that's still a long week. Yeah.
Spencer. We talked about Kindred, and we talked about a couple of
you just said Spencer again.
No, I didn't. That's Did I really? I said Butler. I said Butler.
Okay.
Octavia, forgive me, my friend.
Okay.
Like sidebar, Octavia Spencer is also one of my favorite actresses of all time.
Absolutely amazing. It's just like her accomplishments are just
whole another time.
On the others, that might be for like a happy hour episode, you know, just dive into some of our favorite performers. Ooh. So anyways, today's episode is all about some of our, I have just like, I mean, they are absolutely ones that I love, but these are fan favorites, like cannot keep these on my classroom shelves kinds of books. So it'll come as no surprise to anyone that I have three titles from the YA genre. Everyone, hide your shock and awe. And Amanda? And
likewise, I have three that I would want to use with much older kids and that are not YA.
So no surprises here. How about you kick us off with one of your titles?
Well, okay, so I'll kick off with the one that's probably the most predictable coming from me because I've talked about it before, and I'm really sad that I never got the chance to actually teach it, and it's Crying in H Mart.
Yes.
And I think I've teased this book a few times, but it cannot not be on this list. Michelle Zauner, her voice, and I think what I find so beautiful about her work is that she's like an accidental novelist, right? She's
memoirist. Yes.
Like, yeah. So she's young. She's not putting on airs. She really just is writing so genuinely about her own experience. And that is so like, it's visceral in this book. And I know, and I haven't gotten to, so I don't know for sure, but I just have in my heart, like I know students who read this book are going to feel like the deepest levels of connection to what it's like to be in family, in grief, in, you know, in this mixed up coming of age world. It's her coming of age story through grief. And I know that that sounds heavy, but it's also paired with humor, honesty, food, love, all of those things. And if you read nothing else, read her New Yorker piece. I will link it, or I will make sure it's in the show notes. The New Yorker piece is chapter one, basically. That's what got her discovered by her publisher, and like that was the whole way that it became the book that it is. And it's this gorgeous extended metaphor of her going shopping at an H Mart after her mom has died and not knowing what to buy to make all the things her mom used to make. And just like those mixed up feelings of what it's like to have lost someone that you had a tense relationship with. It wasn't perfect. You know, she talks very honestly about how difficult it was to be a first generation Asian American being raised with really strict parents and not wanting to go with the flow. But then the pain of loss and the language and just, it's just so gorgeous. So I know I could go on for probably another 6 hours about this.
Well, so
I'll talk about it more.
Yeah, I think we absolutely should. So just to piggyback off of that, my sophomore classes, we've just finished a choice memoir unit. And from the choice memoir unit, they had to do a research project somehow inspired by what is involved in there. So like not about the life of the person who wrote it, but something within those experiences from the memoir that they chose. So many of my students, I want to say between my two classes, so between about 80 kids, I had at least 7 reading Crying in H Mart. I had to order books from, I had to borrow from our surrounding schools. They absolutely loved it. Like every single one, every single kid.
That makes me feel good.
Loved it. Another one that I just realized I should have put on my list is a memoir. So I'll just start with my first one that's going to be kind of off the cuff here. Another one that students absolutely loved was a graphic memoir, like graphic novel memoir. What are those called? Graphic memoir? I don't know. I don't know like the right way to say it, but it's They Called Us Enemy by George Takei.
Oh, wow.
I had quite a few. I want to say I had like a good 5 kids read that one. And they read it multiple times because they got through it really fast because it's a graphic novel, but they would read it multiple times and tell me like, oh, and then this time when I read it again, like yesterday, I noticed this in the illustrations. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was cool because these are sophomores. And so they're learning a lot about World War II, like right now in their world history class. And it's just so a great pairing. And I had more kids that wanted to read it, but weren't able to get their hands on it. And so that was a really hot commodity in my classroom. And we just did a choice the same way I do choice novel units, except it was very open. Instead of giving finite choices, I just said, it has to be okay with me and it has to be okay with your parents. And that's how we did it. This is very much I don't remember what episode number it was, but the most recent independent reading series that you and I just did, where I was talking to Jenna Copper. She's the one who kind of like helped me think through this, how to do it. And it was very cool.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, okay. Then I have another one that you should add to that finite list, because this one is also a memoir. So this one I talked about, I think on my Instagram when I finished it, because I was blown away and loved it. It is a memoir by Simu Liu. He is the actor from Kim's Convenience. So first of all, if you have not dialed up Netflix and watched Kim's Convenience, you are missing out. That show was the most heartwarming. It's like a grown-up version of Fresh Off the Boat. If you like Fresh Off the Boat, this is a Canadian version, not version, but like the family owns a convenience store. Like in Fresh Off the Boat, they own that restaurant. Like there's a lot of similarities. It's based off of a novel. And Simu Liu plays this, the son.
Uh-huh.
And then he went off and he went to reach his dreams, which was he always wanted to be a Marvel superhero. And guess what? He became the first Asian, like male lead Marvel hero. And do not ask me what the Marvel hero's name is, because I don't know any of them. I don't. The universe of the supers is not a place that I live for anyone. But he talks about it in his book. It's called We Were Dreamers. It's an immigrant superhero origin story. So again, like there's this thread of this coming of age origin story through like childhood to adulthood. And I think that that's another great way of thinking about, you know, we don't have to isolate books by their culture. But when we have an essential question about coming of age or something like that, that's a great place to have memoir. This one was one that I think students would really love. He is hilarious. I was laughing out loud the majority of the book. It is downright painfully honest. I mean, he talks about being abused and neglected by his parents. He talks about talking to his parents about writing the truth about his childhood in this book. And so he was raised by his grandparents in China for the first 4 years of his life, while his parents were in the United States as professors and teachers and kind of trying to build a home for him to come into. They gave up a lot when they left China to come to the US. And so he actually spends a solid like 4 chapters on his parents' story, which is really beautiful. And then he brings himself over into the story, like not until like chapter 7.
Yeah.
And then it kind of goes through his, you know, his push and pull and eventually where it led him and how he is so passionate about supporting and representing the AAPI community. He's such a vocal advocate that it was just really inspiring read and hilarious.
Well, and I think that stories, like you were saying, brutally honest and poignant, right? Like our students respond so much to just honesty. I mean, especially they always have. Kids always have. Kids can sniff out a phony in a heartbeat. But also there is just something about our current students who have been coming of age amidst a global pandemic, who have really had their like, I don't know, identity awakening start to begin online. And like being able to read the words of somebody else or like audiobook, listen to the words of somebody else in an honest way. And like, and then to just really grapple with the fact that this isn't fiction. It's very, I mean, you and I talked about it like until we were blue in the face for our biography and memoir workshop. It's just very, yes, impactful. And I feel like very freeing, even the sad and heavy stuff. The kids that read Crying in H-Mark went, H-Marked, were telling me like, it, just reading about the grief, I thought I was going to be more upset. And I just felt more like seen and like connected. Yeah. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And I think this one in particular, if you're looking for the curriculum connection, you've also got this. I mean, he mentions and talks about the American dream all the time, even though a lot of his story actually was in Canada. It's still like there's kind of, he talks about the
perception, like the North American dream. Yeah. Yeah.
Of what it's going to be, the promise of what it's supposed to be, the reality of what it's like growing up as a first generation child, what it's like watching his parents do what they had to do to make life happen. It's just a great, I don't know. I feel like the American dream can become such a difficult topic to talk about because kids just want to like say what they want to say because they want to. And it's nice to have an actual perspective to ground that conversation in. Like, no. This is not someone's opinion. This is someone's actual lived experience.
Right. This is them telling you their story. Well, and I think that in like American literature, right? 11th grade American lit, I personally traditionally will see more around like very certain focuses of experiences and to expand that experience into more even like contemporary immigrant stories and not just turn of the century immigrant stories, which is also where that starts to like lend itself. And yeah. Okay. I'm going to share a crowd favorite that I know I have talked about on this podcast before. So I'm going to kind of gloss over a little bit, but Patron Saints of Nothing by Randy Rabe is such a good book. And I remember discovering that the author is a former ELA teacher or maybe he's a current.
Really?
Yeah. Wait. Is he former? I know he's a teacher.
Google it
in real time. Have you read Patron Saints?
So I was just telling Marie before we started recording that I read quite a bit and then it got snagged by a kid.
Oh, yes.
So I loved it. I have had lots of Filipino American students in my classroom.
Yeah.
And like some like that still go back and forth and we're like, oh my gosh, this book is real. I'm like,
it's a real book.
But they're like, no, this is really happening. And I'm like, okay, sometimes books can do that. And they're like, whoa.
Well, and also like the author, let's see, when was he is a current high school English teacher.
Oh my gosh, we need to have him on the podcast.
100% we need to have him on the podcast. I feel like he's also, I wish I could find his age. I need to know his age. It's not happening for me. Anyways, but we'll he's amazing. He's phenomenal. He's written a few like amazing books, but like, it's just one of those. We talk all the time in my English department at my school with like, we talk about, we need that book that one of us wrote because we need the certain things out of it. And we need the certain things that students are able to do that quote unquote literary merit aspect and also have it be an engaging story and also have it be there for our kids and have them feel seen. And this is that book. I just need it.
You need to give a plot summary. You need to give the gist.
Oh, I need to give the gist. Okay. Well, I'm going to read the gist because I am at a point right now where I will butcher
people
it.
People are driving and they're saying, what the hell is it about, Marie?
Okay. I'm going to read to you from Goodreads, friends, because again, Marie's in rare form right now. A coming-of-age story about grief, guilt, and the risks a Filipino-American teenager takes to uncover the truth about his cousin's murder. Jay Regero plans to spend the last semester of his senior year playing video games before heading to the University of Michigan in the fall. But when he discovers that his Filipino cousin June was murdered as part of President Duterte's war on drugs, and no one in the family wants to talk about what happened, Jay travels to the Philippines to find out the real story. And then it goes on and on and on. Yeah. So he's an American kid, American-born kid that travels back to the Philippines and is like having to navigate things. And there's so much caginess and there's like drug, not war, but like there's like all kinds of things going on.
Yeah. I remember reading, I never got to the Philippines.
Okay.
Oh, that's how far I got before somebody snagged it.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't get that far.
I don't think I did. Because I mean, seriously, I remember kids snagged it.
Yes. Because yes.
It was book talked. Our librarian book talked
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I bet. And then it's a goner. But yeah, it's one of those that because it's written by an ELA teacher, like it's got the meat that we need.
That's really
not that the other, not that the others don't. It's just that it's like specific, like it's there. Yes. In fact, we have not yet mentioned. So Friends, we're going to have a couple of extended episodes of what we're talking about here in happy hour. So our happy hour members, we are going to be including for the month of May, 2023, which is when this episode is going to be airing. We have some different resources for you that have to do with the books that we are talking about here. So like I'm going to have some different book club resources, which is where I've used Patron Saints many times. Amanda has got some close reads that she's going to be including. I just realized we never said that before, but like I think I'm going to include something specific to Patron Saints because it okay. really is like English teacher's dream. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to reread it. Oh, sorry. Moving back to the top of my stack.
I know. Well, I mean, for us, it's quick and for students, it's approachable. And also has depth.
Yes.
It's all the things.
My stack got real thick with this summer we have planned.
No, it's a thing.
A lot of reading. Okay. So my last one, because we did three each because otherwise we'd be here forever, is one that I finished very recently. And it was on my TBR. So if you listened to our episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about what we were going to read this year. This is one that was on the list. We Were Dreamers, I also finished recently and I didn't know it existed. I found it kind of accidentally, but this one. Our Missing Hearts by Celeste.
Yes.
I have wanted to read this year. It came into my Libby and because I got a library card, this was like the whole, right? It was a big deal.
No, yes. No, we correct. Congratulate. There was glitter and champagne. It was like a whole thing, you guys.
Edible glitter. Yes. It was delicious.
It was a disco ball. Yes.
I want to go back to the classroom tomorrow to teach this book. That's how much. Well, there's a lot of things I want to do when I go back to the classroom because this is not over, people. I'm going to find the better school for me. But Our Missing Hearts is dystopian.
I love it.
And I didn't know that.
Listen,
I
was like, we love a dystopia, especially a surprise one.
Okay, so note to listeners. My friend Stephanie, I know, is out there listening. Stephanie and I have talked about this on Instagram. And I'm going to have Stephanie on the podcast. And I think we're going to do like a live unit plan together.
Ooh, fun.
I can't even keep up with her messages right now, but all her ideas. So I'm going to pull Stephanie on the podcast because you guys actually said that. Put out a little survey a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You guys said you really like it when teachers come on and talk through their process. So I think we're going to do that maybe in the fall.
Yeah. We do a whole planning series. That'll be cool.
So fun. And she's I love where she's at her head. So Our Missing Hearts, I'll give you the premise. There are definitely things that I think kids may or may not like, but the premise is this. We are in the very, very near future. And there's something, and I'm going to get details wrong because I never remember them, but there's something called the Pact. I think it's called the Pact. And so there was a lot of fallout over a large, widespread disease.
Oh God.
And there was a lot of tension in the country, a lot of problems in the country. And in order to resolve them, basically we got to a place where we agreed on this pact, right? And pact was like a, in not so clear terms, a way of saying it's okay to point out the people who make you feel unsafe. And so the target is on the back of Asian Americans. And there's a lot of conversation in this book about racial tension. There's a lot of conversation about the tension from Black Americans to Asian Americans and hate crimes. And I don't want to give away too much, but basically the first part is in three parts. Again, I love a three-part story. Part one is told from a child's point of view. Part two is told from his mother's point of view, but they're never really in the story at the same time until maybe part three. Womp, womp, womp. And so you're kind of getting the story, like the present, like the child is moving through the story, like in the present, right? On that timeline. And then the mother's story, that's when you finally kind of get that flashback to what this boy didn't really understand about the world around him and like why, because you also find out that he is half Asian, half white. He's living with his dad, his white dad, because it was safer. and his mom had to leave, and he doesn't understand why his mom left him. And so he's like trying to wrestle with that and like forgive her. And then all the while, children are disappearing.
Oh my God.
Like legally disappearing. They are. Right. And so, and then there's books and librarians. Librarians basically save the planet.
The world. In this well,
so
like normal.
Any of those are like clickbaity enough for you to go.
I'm yes. It it's all, it's been in my shopping cart and I have to keep clicking save for later, save for later, save for later. But now I'm just going to like leave it.
And of course, I listened to it. That's just the stage of life I'm in. And I really did enjoy the audiobook. My good friend Aviva did not like it. She thought it was too slow. And I do see that that could be a sticking point for kids. But, you know, how I teach, I'd assign all of part one, big chunk. Have right. a big, big old juicy discussion. Part two, part three. If you move through it, like, don't take 6 weeks on this book. Take three.
And yeah.
Sink your teeth into the juicy chitter chatter around some of the systems of oppression and like, oh my gosh, it's you'll okay. find the end too. It's a, okay. it's a jerker at the end.
Well, and we love a dystopia, man. Like it's good. It's good stuff.
Well, and I loved that it wasn't like this. I don't get me wrong. I love a YA dystopia, but there wasn't this big, loud, wild revolution. It was a very like quiet literary type of revolution. Which was a refreshing take for me as someone who reads a lot of dystopia.
Yeah, right. Who's like got a lot of revolutions.
Yeah, it wasn't like a one child protagonist saves the entire planet kind of dystopia.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited about that one. Okay. So my last little share here is actually going to be two titles because I'm going to give you two sides of a coin.
Okay.
These are two sides of a coin that are, they are seemingly very, very different, but the demographic for these, and these are book club choices, is always the same class. And I always tell kids, it honestly just depends on what stage of life and what state, what mood you are in when we get into these two books. So one is entitled, in fact, I think I've talked about both of them before on the podcast. One is entitled When Dimple Met Rishi by Sandhya Menon. Yes, I love that book.
Cute.
When Dimple Met Rishi, and then Parachutes by Kelly Yang. So, okay. Two realistic fiction YA contemporary novels, right? When Dimple Met Rishi is, I mean, it's very much like When Harry Met Sally, except it's two Indian American kids who are both the children of immigrants who are like, oh gosh, where do they go? I think they go to San Francisco and they meet. When Dimple Met Rishi is, it's a romance novel. Yes, young adult romance novel. Tells the story of 18-year-old Indian American Dimple Shah who meets a boy named Rishi Patel at a web developing camp in San Francisco. Okay. So like it hits a lot of things just square on the head. Like, okay. Yeah. And they're going and it's coding camp. And it's like all of these things that like really do exacerbate stereotypes. And it also does so in such a delightfully tongue in cheek and like, well, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm into kind of a way that it's like, yeah. And the protagonist, she's just so fun. And the male protagonist, like he's also so fun. And so it's from both of their perspectives. And so it goes back and forth. And so my more, both of the books I'm talking about, Parachutes and When Dimple Met Rishi, are for more reluctant readers, I have found. They hook reluctant readers. They are approachable in like lexile and reading level. Mm-hmm. When Dimple Met Rishi is just fast moving because it's funny and it's fun and it's got ups and downs. And you can kind of gloss over it and get through it, but it's also perfect for my seniors because it is right where they're at. It is just, in fact, just ahead of where they're at and also has amazing cultural complexity. And I talk to my students who are from like Indian American descent or like are the students, they'll pick it up and go, I was thinking to myself, am I going to cringe the whole time I read this? Like, is it? And then my one student who just read it last term was like, and I did cringe, but I cringed in the happiest way because I was like, oh, that's my mom. Like, my mom's in a book. And I was like, okay, that is the point here, everybody, of like, she got to see a mirror, and then her friend that read it along with her goes, "I get your mom now." It's just funny.
When I read it, I got very much like the a young adult Mindy Project vibe.
Yes, yes. It's
Mindy Project is not school appropriate.
No.
But like I got that same tongue in cheek where we're gonna like play with our own sense of humor and our sense of culture and how that all plays out.
And just reality, right? Belonging into reality. Absolutely. Yeah. Parachutes is not for the faint of heart. Parachutes, you have to give some content warnings ahead of time because Parachutes has sexual assault in it. It also has like kind of pedophilia, sexual assault. There's a thing with a creepy teacher who definitely assaults a child. So that part is not particularly graphic, but there is a rape scene. So like that's something that I 100% warn ahead of time. I tell them where it happens so they have a page range for anything that can be upsetting because it is one of those things where you go, oh, this is happening. Yeah. It is also one that is in multiple perspectives. It is in the perspective of, well, here, let me just, okay. Here's the read up on it. Speak enters the world of Gossip Girl in this modern immigrant story from New York Times bestselling author Kelly Yang about two girls navigating wealth, power, friendship, and trauma. They're called Parachutes. Teenagers dropped off to live in private homes and study in the United States while their wealthy parents remain in Asia. Claire Wong never thought she'd be one of them until her parents pluck her from privileged life in Shanghai and enroll her in a high school in California. Danny De La Cruz, Claire's new host sister, couldn't be less thrilled that her mom rented out a room to Claire. An academic and debate team star, Danny is determined to earn her way into Yale, even if it means competing with privileged kids who are buying their way to the top. Okay, so I'm like cutting us off here a little bit, but so the two of them are paired up and it goes back and forth between their two voices and their very different experiences and where their lives intersect and where they differ. And another one that just keeps kids hooked. I cannot get enough copies of Parachutes every time in my classroom. So there you go.
Add to cart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a good time to remind everyone that on bookshop.org, you can support your local bookstores.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm in.
Yeah.
I love all this. I am so thankful for our listeners for always asking for more of this kind of stuff. This is exactly what we want to share, what we want to spread. It is a lot of work to teach. It is a lot of work to read extra books and get insight into expanding our own canons. And so I think that episodes like this are super helpful to teachers because we love to read, but
right?
Oh my gosh, like,
well, and this is the best way to be able to, like, I don't want to just pick up a random, I mean, sometimes, yes, I want to pick up a random book, but it is like low odds that I'm going to get something that's just amazing and good without any prior suggestions or anything like that, right? So we want to give you solid recommendations, and we figured, hey, AAPI Heritage Month sounds like a great time to focus on some of the authors from the AAPI community who we absolutely love and our students love.
Well, these are very contemporary authors that we look at today. You know, there are a lot of classical AAPI authors that touch on today, but you know, maybe that's for another episode. But these are authors that are working right now in our conversations. I mean, Marie and I stumble across these books and scenes from these books all the time, just in regular conversation. So,
yep, absolutely. Okay, friends, we've gone everywhere from memoir to contemporary YA romance. So we've given you a lot to think about. Like Amanda said, head to the show notes. We will have links to our bookshop.org lists if you would like to support your local bookstores. We know we like to. And get your hands on these titles. Make sure you also head to the show notes and get some more information about Camp BNT. And yeah, we have just so many fun things coming your way. And we can't wait to share them with you. So thank you so much for joining us. If you have a moment to leave us a rating and review on iTunes, it helps other people find our community and find the podcast. And until we meet again, we hope you have a wonderful week in school and we will see you next time.
Bye. Thanks again for listening to Brave New Teaching.
We'd love to keep the conversation going over on Instagram.
And while you're there, check out the links in our bio for the most up-to-date events going on in the Brave New Teaching community.
Thanks for being here and have a great week at school.